experienced the ups and downs of life? I'm assuming all of you have. I don't think too many of us have experienced life on a smooth sailing, you know, no waves, no problem, no wind, no anything. Sometimes it does seem like we're living in a breeze, that we're just kind of sailing along. Other times it seems like we're fighting uphill battle, like we're racing on foot up Mount Everest. And other times it seems like we're on the other side of the hill and we're going downhill. And I don't know much about your experiences, but I know about mine. And there have been times where it's like you're walking into a hurricane. And then there's times where you get into the eye, you know, and there's no wind at all. It's all calm. So at some point in your life, you feel like you're running in quicksand. And I want to bring the answer that the Bible has. That's what I do. And I want you to be able to walk out of here today realizing where you need to put your trust and where you need to put your strength. And you're going to see that the Holy Spirit is here to help us, not to hinder us. In Galatians 5:25, up on the screen, it tells us to live by the Spirit. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Well, there's a lot in that one little verse. And I want to explain it. First of all, keeping in step with the Spirit is not just what you think, where you think that, well, you're walking next to the Spirit, and you just kind of keep in step, kind of like you're marching in a marching band or in a military arrangement, and you know, left, right, and that's not what this is talking about. All that it's talking about. It might be saying something to that effect, but mainly what it's talking about is that we need to be close to the Spirit. We need to let Him break the way. I'm sure you watched the Olympics, at least a part of it, and you know a little bit about running. I used to be a runner, and so when they ran the long distance runs, what do? You see one guy in the front, and everybody's kind of behind him. And the announcers will talk about it, and they'll say, yeah, this guy is the rabbit. Or they'll say that, you know, oh, that's really unusual that he would be in the front. And you see the guys that are going to win the race, usually, you know, the guys that are the strongest, the guys that are the best, and they're following behind this guy who's in first. Well, then they start talking about drafting. And that's in race cars, too. Drafting is where one race car follows another race car really close, because it's getting pulled along by the wind, by the draft. The first car is breaking all the wind. It's bringing it's opening the way, you might say. And this is the terminology that's being used here, is that we're keeping in step with the Spirit. We're letting Him lead the way. We're following Him. We're letting Him open up the way so that we're not having to do it on our own. There's a secret in the Hebrew word for a spirit. The word for spirit in Hebrew is the same word for wind. And so, have you ever walked against the wind? We've had some stiff winds in the last month or so. And I know when I have to go outside and put wood on the fire, you know, and all that. And sometimes that wind is blowing pretty hard, and it's like, oh, you're almost leaning into the wind to get anywhere. And then when I come back to the house, the wind's in my back, and it almost blows me in the door. And that's exactly the term and the picture that we want to see with the Spirit. We want the Spirit to go with us. We don't want to go against the Spirit. Because if you go against the Spirit, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle. You're going to be fighting against the current. He's given us strength. He's given us everything we need, and we need to go with Him. Keep in step with the Spirit. Now, I want you to go to a scripture verse. It's 2 Chronicles, and 6:23 in your pew Bible, 2 Chronicles. And it's chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And here, you know, the king's name is Jehoshaphat, so get the laugh out already. And he wasn't a guy that jumped around a lot, so we can't call him jumping Jehoshaphat, but he was the king of the day, and in that time period. And this guy in verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14, it says this guy, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. It's a real weird name, but he's the son of Zechariah. And so in verse 15, he goes to the king, and he says, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." So here we see this picture unfolding. Jehoshaphat is worried. You know, I'm sure he's looking out at this vast army that's approaching and wondering, what are we going to do now? We don't have that many people. We're just going to get wiped out. And this son of Zechariah comes to him and says, "Look, the battle's not yours. It's God's." Now, there was responsibility on Jehoshaphat's side. He still had to go out there. They still had to take their positions. They still had to stand firm. But he was told that this battle is the Lord's, and it's not up to you. Just stand there and watch. You know, and I think that many times we get into the scripture and we get into life and we get into all the things that are going on, and we kind of feel like we need to fight the battle. We start rolling up our sleeves and we get out there and we say, "All right, I'm ready now." And the Lord says, "No. No, that's mine. I'll do it for you. Just rest in me. Stand firm in your position. Go out there, but let me take the battle." You know, there's another scripture I want us to go to, 1 Thessalonians 17:99 in your pew Bible. 1 Thessalonians, way back to the New Testament now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17:99, and starting with verse 16. It says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil." This is an interesting scripture because this is telling us that we're supposed to be joyful always. Anybody joyful always? I guess I better put my hand up. Do you pray continually? Well, you know, when I'm driving, I can't really pray, right? But, you know, you still can have prayerful heart. Do you give thanks in all circumstances? When the tire goes flat, when the car doesn't start, when your job, you know, lose your job, or you get sick, or, you know, something happens that's devastating to you? Are you thankful all circumstances? You know, this is tough for us. Because you see this, you say, joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For what? This is God's will. You know, you say, I want to know what God's will is. I have people tell me that all the time. But usually it's in, who should I marry, where should I live, what, you know, school should I go to, whatever like that. And this is not what it says. God's will for you in Christ Jesus is to be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Okay, is there a grading curve on this? Because we're not doing it. We're not making it. But think about it now. Think about it. If I go out there and I say, my life is miserable and I hate it. Why, God? Why? You want to come to church with me? You want to be a Christian? You want to know about Jesus? And they're looking at you and going, if that's what it's all about, I'm doing fine over here. Because I don't want to have any part of this is miserable life. I want an answer. Because out there, people are already miserable. They're walking around in life and they're going, I hate it. You know, I can't stand my job. I my dog bites me when I feed it. My wife or husband, nag, nag, nag. You know, and we get caught up and the world is already miserable and they're looking for something to lift them up. It's like the guy in quicksand, you know, we talked about quicksand before, you know, and you come out there to give him a hand and he says, no, my life is over. There's no hope in these people. But if you say, hey man, your life is not over. Give me your hand, I'll pull you out and you got a great life ahead of you. Really? Do I? Yeah, absolutely, come on. Let's go. Come to church with me. Let me tell you about the Lord. He's got a wide, great world ahead of you. A promise of prosperous. You know, not that you're going to be rich in this world, but you're going to live a life that's going to be joyful and you're going to be able to thank Him for everything. Are you telling me the truth? Well, yeah. Look at me. And I once was one of those guys, I was just like you. I hated my life. I hated my job. But now, I see there's a purpose to it. That lifts people up. They start thinking, well, I guess I can do it. You know, instead of fighting the current, go with it. Instead of fighting the spirit, go with Him. You know, when I was living in California, we used to go out to the ocean a lot, and you know, I was not a surfer dude, so don't even think about it. But you know, you would go out in the ocean, and you kind of swim in the waves, you know, and body surf or whatever. And they used to tell you, they warned you about riptides. And a riptide was something that there was an undercurrent under the waves. And sometimes people would get caught in these riptides and they would find them a mile out offshore, a mile out, because the riptide would just drag them out. A lot of these people would drown because they would fight the riptide. They would fight it. What they told you to do is swim with it. And eventually, little by little, you swim away from it. And then you come back to the surface and you can live. But if you fought it, you would surely die. It's the same thing in a river. If you fall in a river, you're not going to get back out of the river on the same place that you fell in the river. It's going to carry you a ways. If you fight the river and try to swim against the current to get back to the spot you fell in, you're going to perish. But if you swim with the river and ever so slightly swim to the shore, you'll be fine. You may be a mile downriver, but you'll be out. Too many people fight things. And we as Christians, sometimes we fight the Spirit. And it's like, why are you doing this? God is telling us, you know, keep in step with the Spirit. Work with Him. Follow Him. Don't get in front of Him. You're not even next to Him. Stay behind Him. Let Him break the way. Let Him open up the things that need to be opened up and follow Him. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 3, 1778 in the Pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter 3. Starting in verse 14. It says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You know, when you look at this scripture, you see power listed twice. See, He wants to give us His power. He wants to empower us. And He asks us just to be rooted in, and established in His love. Just to stand firm. And then what it says is, it says He wants to give us the measure, the fullness and the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, I can't even imagine that. It's more than we can take in. But that's what He wants for us. He wants us to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then in verse 20, He says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." Now, I have a pretty good imagination. Kathy knows that. It's pretty wild sometimes. She says, "Where did you get that?" You know? "Who are you?" sometimes they say. And I'll say, "Same guy I ever was." You know, but the thing is that I can imagine some really wild, great things, you know. And it says here that He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Wow. Have we even tap a portion of that? You know, we do in the spring, we tap the trees for sap, you know, and more trees you get, the more, you know, more sap you get. And I think about tapping God's power, that He can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. That we ask for things, just like Jim was reading, you know, he says, "I asked for this, and I asked for this, and I got this, and I got this." And it's like, God knows exactly what we need. We can ask, and He supplies us better than what we asked, really. He's not going to throw $1 million in the bank account for you. You know, we all would like that. You know, that'd be great, wouldn't it? But He wants us to know what it's all about, to rest in Him. What would we do if we got that $1 million in the bank? What would we do if we had everything just handed to us, laid in our lap? You know, the Spirit would be somewhere out there. Why would I need to follow Him? Why would I need His power? Why would I need His strength? Well, I would just ditch Him. Because, of course, I want to spend all that on my own desires. my own things that, you know, I'm looking for. I want this and I want that, but the Spirit's saying, no, no, no. I had somebody say, why can't God give me what I want? I said, boy, that's real. I want a candy store. You know, I want 50 pounds of chocolate. You know, but, you know, you think that would be good for me to have? Not at all. I have to buy new clothes. You know, but the thing is that God knows what we need, and He's going to supply it more than we ask, more than we can imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. His power that's at work within us. God doesn't want us to be a bunch of worn-out Christians. He wants us to be filled with joy and energy and victory, more than conquerors. That's what He wants. Matthew 11, last scripture. Matthew 11, 1486 in your pew Bibles. 1486. Matthew 11. You know, Jesus knew that. He knew that we need to have power. We need to have assistance. We need to have His strength, because we can't do it on our own. Starting in verse 28. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and will give you, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see a yoke up there, and it's got two spots. It's not a one ox yoke. It's a two ox yoke. All right? Now, what I found out about yokes is that the experienced one is on one side, and then the new guy is on the other side, the weaker one. So that together, the load is lighter. Together, they can pull the load. And the younger one learns from the older one, because they're yoked together. And so Jesus here is just saying, He's saying, you're not on your own. Take my yoke upon you. I am on the one side. You are on the other. I'm taking you along. I'm showing you the way. And you know what? The ox on the one side, the new guy, the younger one, the not as educated one, the not as strong one, on the one side, you know what? It can't go like this and walk away. They're yoked together. They can't break that thing. That's pretty strong. And so they're yoked together. And so we should be yoked to Jesus Christ, yoked to His Spirit. And so He is giving us a lighter load. Doesn't mean we don't have a load. It says that my burdens are light. My yoke is easy. I'm going to help you. The yoke is, you know, they build the yoke according to the ox. They custom fit it so that, you know, can you imagine having a yoke on your neck? And it's not comfortable, it hurts. Every time you pull, it would pain you. You'd never pull anything. So it has to be comfortable too. And so the Lord, He custom fits us with that yoke. It's my yoke. I'm gentle, I'm humble in heart, and I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to help you with your load so it's lighter and it's easier, and let's do this together. Let's not do it separately. Keep in step. Follow the Lord. Follow the Spirit. Let Him do the work. Doesn't mean we're just kicking back. We're walking with Him. But the load is a lot easier when you walk with Him. I'd like us to go to our last hymn. 352. All right. We got it on the screen. First and last verses. Of He Hideth My Soul.